We are all works in progress, and those waves washing over the sand, it's going to keep on going and keep on going. It isn't going to be done. There's expectations of getting it right, being perfect, not needing something to wash over us and make us new one more time. It's not going to come. And that's who we are, and that's who we're gathered to be. And so we're talking about one of those kinds of things this week, actually, one of these things that you never can quite get ahead of. I'm Greg Meyer, pastor here at Jacob's Well, and it's great to have you all here today and to share with you a little bit about this. A couple of weeks ago, we started this series called Whatever, trying to take this phrase, which is so often used to sort of say indifference towards the world, and instead say, well, how is it something about making a difference in the world? And so there's these words that were written about 2,000 years ago. A guy named Paul, who was one of the first guys kind of spreading the word about Jesus around the world. And he wrote this to a real live group of people in a town called Philippi. You know it in this letter called the Philippians. And he said all these whatevers. And he talked about them and about what they might have to do with what's going on in life. And I left my glasses someplace over here. What did I do? Well, it's when I remember, I'll go get them. But I think I can get along without them here. This is a true test, right? Oh, there we go. Are those mine, you think? We'll make them do? Oh, hey. Hi. I thought I was practicing in an empty room. Okay, moving right along. So he talks about these whatevers. And 2 weeks ago, I was talking about whatever is true. Last week, Dawn was talking about whatever is noble. Okay? And there are 8 of these whatevers in these verses. And that meant, we're doing 4 weeks, so we couldn't use all of them, right? So you got to pick and choose. And I remember it was, Peter and Dawn and I and Justin, and I think maybe Melissa or Heidi were in the conversation too, and we're going through these. What ones are we going to use? So what ones are the best? What ones are the most helpful, the most relevant to us? And then what are the ones, I don't want to talk about that one, And if there's anything I've learned, I've been doing this for a long time now, this preaching thing. If there's anything I learned is that when there's something in, a Bible verse or anything in the context of who we are as a community, what's going on, that you don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole, it's, so objectionable, so, don't want to do that, you'd better talk about it, all right? It's a non-negotiable. Unless you want to just, rip that page out of the Bible and pretend it was never there, and you're going to have to talk about it. I mean, there's no such thing as saying, well, maybe we can just kind of slip over that and no one will notice. We'll just kind of keep moseying on along. You can't do it. Everybody is aware of it. Everybody's thinking about it and wondering, well, what's he going to say about that? So if there's an elephant in the room, you got to talk about the elephant in the room. If you don't, one is everybody's wondering why you're not, and two, it just undermines the credibility of everything you do say and do. So the elephant in the room today is this line, whatever is pure. Pure. Of the list of 8, what one did I want to talk about the least? Whatever is pure. But what's that about? That is such an uninteresting concept these days. It's not what we are about. It's not what we're thinking about at all. It just isn't a big word for these days. Let me clarify that. No pun intended about that, if you caught it. But it isn't a big word for our expectations for ourselves these days. Although, it's kind of big in some ways. It's also kind of funny that a lot of you have a name that means pure, at least among the women. All right, yeah. If you are a Katie, Catherine, Caitlin, or any of those variations, that's what your name means, is pure. The other word, actually there are 2 words that are basically the same thing. One is Kathros, Catherine. The other one is Agnos, which is Agnes. We got any Agneses here today? No, not as many of those these days, but a couple generations ago, the room would have been full of those too. And actually, the word should be Hagnus. So, if the name Agnes isn't bad enough for you, you can name your kid Hagnus. That can go along with Sisygus that we talked about 2 weeks ago. Names not to use. So we're kind of not interested in it, although it is a part of our life. And the fact is, we're really interested in purity in other things. It's an important thing. I've got a list of words here. So these words on the left are words I think that are really, we want to be about these. I wish this verse had listed these, because this would have been fun to talk about. Experience, experiment, eclectic, liberated. Yeah, decadent. That's, you know, kind of like, that's a cool thing these days. To be even permissive. You know, we can kind of slip into that one. Then you got this list on the right. Accountable, tempered, reliable. Don't you want to be, you know, going through life and say, boy, he's reliable. You know, so boring. Frugal, polite, and then the top of them all off or bottom of them all out, pure. You know, those are just not winning words. But who, really looking at life, says they're not important? Who doesn't want the people around them, especially the people that they're responsible to and responsible from, to be those things on the right? I mean, the fact is that pure is important, and you just can't get around it. If you think pure isn't important, well, let me just tell you the story. And so there's this grandfather, okay? And he's kind of a distracted grandfather. I mean, he likes his grandchildren, but just, you know, doesn't really key in that much. Anyway, so grandma and grandpa are responsible for looking after the little two-year-old toddler of their, you know, their grandchild for a couple hours. And grandma has to go out to the store and is really hesitant to leave grandpa with the little one. But grandma said, don't worry. You know, what can go wrong? I'll be fine. I'll be doing it. So, okay. So she comes back, and the toddler's walking around in the house, and grandpa's sitting, you know, by the window, just not paying attention. What are you doing? You're not paying attention. Yes, don't worry, I'm on top of everything. We have this great little game. We're having a tea party. She keeps bringing me these little cups of water, and you know, serves me tea, and I drink it, and she goes and fills it up again. And grandma says, this proves you aren't paying attention at all. Do you know the only source of water that she can reach? If you didn't figure that out, just sit with it for a while. Now, why is that funny? Because impure matters. Purity matters. We know that. We expect it in things around us. We're just not so excited about applying it to ourselves. And I think there's some reasons for that, and there's some things to be looking at. Now, frankly, like I said, I was not excited about preaching about this word. I knew I had to. And I knew if the Bible thinks it's this important, if it's such a constant, and believe me, it is all over the Bible, if the Bible makes such a big point about it, I think I need to start wrapping my head around it, start understanding, well, why? Why is it? It isn't to be prudish. There's something valuable about being pure, and obviously I need to understand it a little bit more deeply. And so one of the things is I did a lot of work with this and just really thought a lot about it, and these are things that would probably come to your mind right away too, is that the first thing is that pure people don't always look it. Pure people don't always look it, not on the outside. So this is one of our problems with pure, right? We have a stereotype around it that we aren't interested in. But it's not really the real pure thing anyway, is it? I mean, we have this stereotype of that pure person, of this person who throws terms like that around, and we find it to be more of a facade than who that real person is. It isn't really substance, it's just facade. They often use this idea of purity to judge people who aren't like them. And it's a very hypocritical thing about them. And in fact, we often find that in order for people to be pure, and what that expectation is of pure, the way that we perceive it, the way it's been stereotyped in our society, it has all to do with isolation. I don't do all these things. I stay away from all those sorts of things in order to remain pure. And there's something about that, especially in our day and age, it just feels wrong. It just isn't the way it works. It isn't real. It isn't right. And face it, it just really isn't even practical in our world. So how can we even pay any attention to it? Well, what we learn right away, and if you were to talk about this yourselves, I bet you would come up with this idea right away, and that is purity is about the inside. It's not about the outside.